Hebrews chapter 11, and in the verses 8, 9, and 10, we read of the faith of Abraham, and in verse 11 then, we're brought to read of Sarah. We're going to read the verses 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Amen. We trust the Lord will again bless the reading of his word to our hearts. John Butler said, "It is true that some positions in the Lord's service are limited to gender." He was referring there to how the offices of the church are to be filled by men only. So it is true that some positions in the Lord's service are limited by gender, but faith is not. Faith is not limited by gender. What a wonderful thing it is that in these verses, as we have been reading of the faith of Abraham the patriarch, that we are then brought to consider the faith of his wife Sarah as well. Sarah is a great example to Christian ladies. She is certainly a great example to wives in 1 Peter 3 and the verse 6. And we read words there in the context of reading about Sarah, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And so the Christian wife certainly should see herself as a daughter of Sarah, and she should endeavor to follow the good example that Sarah has set for godly ladies. Sarah is an example to the lady in that she exhorts the ladies to submit to God's plan for their husbands. The lady is to submit to God's plan for her husband. Now you think of how when Abraham was called of God to leave Ur of the Chaldees, we do not read of Sarah seeking to stand in Abraham's way. We do not read of Sarah trying to prevent that move. We do not read of Sarah trying to remain behind. But rather, when Abraham left, it seems that Sarah went willingly as well. With no word of complaint, she left the security of living in that place where her family lived, and she abandoned all of that to live the rest of her life in tents. And so we can say of Abraham and Sarah that they shared similar spiritual goals. Abraham and Sarah, they truly were a godly couple laboring together. In 1 Peter 3, again in the context of mention of Sarah, we read there as being heirs together of the grace of life. And the husband and wife there are being exhorted to see that they are heirs. That is where the husband and wife are both converted. They are heirs together of the grace of life. And Sarah, she lived out her Christian life in light of that truth. She recognized that both she and Abraham were spiritual heirs. It is always a tragic thing when wives seek to hinder the spiritual duties of their husbands. Equally, it is a tragedy when some husbands seek to hinder the spiritual growth of their wives. So Sarah, she teaches that there is to be submission to God's plan for the husband. And she also surely teaches that the lady ought to support her husband in seeking to obey the will of God. And so when a man would seek to obey the will of God, his wife ought to encourage him in that. And she ought to do all that she can to enable him to do that. Sarah would also teach the wives to submit to their husbands. In 1 Peter 3 verse 6, it speaks of how Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And we have that strong example then that Sarah has set of submission, and that she reverenced her husband. So we have here a man of great faith, Abraham, but he is married to a woman of faith, and what a blessing that was. Thomas Manton then compared this marriage of Abraham and Sarah to that of Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Luke 1 and the verse 6, it speaks of how Zacharias and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That is, they were walking together, and they were united in their marriage to both be righteous before the Lord individually and then collectively as a married unit. Again, they were heirs together of the grace of life. And as we speak to young people on the issue of marriage, surely this is something that we ought to instruct them about. What is it that the young Christian man should desire in marriage? Not the wealthiest wife that he can find, not the funniest wife that he could find, but the godliest wife that he could find. One who will be to him as a Sarah. One who will be truly a helpmate, as truly Sarah was to her husband. Now, as we come to think tonight on this, on the faith of Sarah, her faith was a well-grounded faith. For it says in verse 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. And just as in the examples of faith that we've already looked at, Sarah had heard the word of God. Sarah had heard the promise of God. And she took that promise of God and she rested upon it. And the reason then why she had faith was because she had heard that promise and she judged him faithful who had promised. And so she not only took that promise that God had given, but she rested on the promiser himself. This then was faith, not fancy. As we are brought to consider the faith of Sarah, the illustration that is taken here to back up the fact that Sarah had faith is this issue of her conceiving and bearing Isaac. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why was it that she had this faith that Isaac could be conceived and then born? Because she had certain thoughts about God. She considered God to be faithful. She judged him faithful. And she considered him to be a faithful promiser. She judged him faithful who had promised. And here then her faith was in a faithful God. The promise that she rested upon was the promise of Almighty God. She believed that those promises would be fulfilled. And so we want to look here tonight at Sarah's faith in a faithful promiser. I want to say, first of all, that her faith overcame her abundant doubts. Her faith overcame her abundant doubts. For it's very significant in this verse 11, we read nothing of the history that went before the beginning of Sarah's great faith. We find that history in the book of Genesis, those portions that we read earlier. And surely it is significant that here in Hebrews 11, that unbelief of Sarah is passed over. And what has been emphasized is the greatness of Sarah's faith. And if you turn back with me then to Genesis chapter 18, and I want us to consider for a moment the unbelief of Sarah before this faith came. Genesis chapter 18 and the verse 10. And the Lord here is speaking. Remember how there were those three visitors. One of them was the Lord. The other two were angels. And you'll discover that if you read the remainder of the chapter and into chapter 19 very carefully. It becomes very clear that the main speaker was the Lord then, accompanied by these two angels. And in verse 10 he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also." And as Sarah then heard those words, that she would bear a child, Sarah heard those words that the Lord would come and do something in her, and that she would have a son, she laughed within herself. Her laugh was one of unbelief. Not only did she laugh in unbelief when she was challenged, she lied. Now, why was it that Sarah doubted? Well, if you look back with me in Genesis 11 and the verse 30, in Genesis 11 and the verse 30, it says there, "But Sarah was barren, and she had no child." And so we're going back a number of years then, even to those events prior to Abraham and Sarah coming into Canaan. And we read that Sarah was barren. And so there was this problem, as it were, with her body. She could not conceive and bear children. And so all of these years later, when she heard the Lord say that Sarah is going to have a son, she doubted because she had experienced that barrenness for year after year. But then there was also the issue of her age. Because in verse 11 of chapter 18, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." And so not only was Sarah now an old woman, but it was no longer physically possible for her to have a child. She had passed that particular season of life. And so then we find that she was barren, she was old. Physically speaking, it was an impossibility for her to conceive and to give birth to a child. And to Sarah then initially, it seemed absolutely reasonable for her to say to herself, "I could never bear a child." It seemed unreasonable to say that she could have one. Yet the divine commentary on Genesis 18 and Genesis chapter 21 is that Sarah had faith. And that faith was such that she had faith to have increased strength in order that she might conceive and then bear that child that was conceived. And what is clear then is that sometime between the laughing of Sarah in the tent and the conception of Isaac in her womb, she believed the words that the Lord had spoken. So sometime between the messenger coming And the Lord then coming and working in her body, Sarah did believe that the Lord would do this. Sarah did believe that a mighty miracle would take place in her. Perhaps that very day, as the three men walked away, she meditated over those words that she would have heard, because it's very clear that she could hear all the conversation that was taking place. And perhaps she meditated over those words that the Lord had said to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Maybe the Lord really burned those words into her heart. You think days later then, as she thought on the city of Sodom, who would have thought that that city would have been destroyed by fire from heaven? But as Sarah had those words ringing in her mind, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" there was great evidence nothing is too hard. And since it was not too hard for the Lord to destroy Sodom, it was not too hard for the Lord to give to Sarah a son. Or perhaps she meditated over the repetition of the words that the Lord spoke in verse 10, the Lord said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And then in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And maybe she meditated over that repetition. The Lord said, "He will come and do something in me." The Lord said, "I will have a son." And as those words of God, the scripture we might say, as the very word of the Lord was written and engraved into her heart, faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We might be hard on Sarah and criticize her for her initial lack of faith. We might criticize her for her unbelief that day at the tent. But I doubt if many or if any of us would have fared very much better. I think rather than criticizing Sarah, in light of Hebrews 11:11, we ought to commend her for the faith that she did have later. For even when she did believe, even when she had faith that the Lord would strengthen her in order that she might conceive, and then the Lord would strengthen her in order that she might deliver that child, there were still these great issues. There were still these great barriers. And so even when she had faith, she was still barren. Even when she had faith, she was still old Leah. She had still passed that time when it was physically possible for her to have children. Despite all the evidence that doctors may have presented to her that you'll never have a child, she was confident that she would. She was confident that the Lord would do a miracle in her. And her faith then mirrored that of her husband in Romans 4 verse 19. And speaking of Abraham, it says, "Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." And as Abraham refused to accept that he could never have a child through Sarah, so Sarah came to believe as well that though her womb was dead, that that womb would yet live. I believe there is a matter of great encouragement here. For when we read in Genesis chapter 18 of the response of Sarah to that promise of the Lord, is that not the response that so often we do receive when we seek to bring the word of God to people? Whether that would be us bringing the word of God to the unconverted, Or even at times as we would bring the word of God to those that profess his name. Very often initially, there is that great unbelief. Very often initially, there is that laugh, as it were, within the heart. There is that unbelief that God could do the very thing that has been shared from the word of God. But here is the encouragement, that while initially Sarah said, it cannot be so, that word so took a grip of her heart that she came to say instead, it will be so. While initially she said, there is no possibility that I could have a child, she came to say, there is no possibility that I cannot. She was convinced the Lord would do this thing within her. And therefore, as we seek to bring God's word to the ungodly, let us take encouragement from this. The Lord is able to impress his seed upon the heart over a period of time. And let us take encouragement from this as we seek to encourage others of the people of God, that while there may be resistance initially, the Lord is able to take his own word. The Lord is able to bring about that strengthening of faith in the hearts of his children. Let us keep sowing that seed. Now, over in Hebrews 11 and 11, I want you to notice some words in particular. It says there, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And so it wasn't just that she had faith that she could conceive. It wasn't just faith that she could deliver a child, but it was faith that she would actually have the strength bodily to conceive, and then later the strength bodily and to deliver that child. And by faith then, her barrenness was removed. By faith, her youth was renewed. And of course, it was the Lord that did that. It was the Lord that removed the barrenness. It was the Lord that renewed her youth. But it was as Sarah had that confidence, and that the Lord came and did that mighty thing within her. And so that conception of Isaac within her womb was indeed a mighty miracle. And in order for her to conceive that child, the Lord had to do something very radical within her. And I believe that Sarah did have, literally, her youth renewed. If you look with me in Genesis chapter 21, in Genesis chapter 21, and remember here, Sarah, as she gave birth to this child, was a 90-year-old lady. Genesis chapter 21 and the verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? And not only then did she conceive the child, and not only was she able to deliver the child, but the Lord also enabled her to feed that child. If you look back to chapter 20, I believe there's another indication here as to something miraculous having taken place in the body of Sarah. And the details of this chapter come after the promise that God had given that Sarah was going to conceive and bear a child. But before the actual details of the birth of Isaac are given in the following chapter. And in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham is in Gerar. And bearing in mind again that Sarah is 90 years old, and so, as we might say, she was no spring chicken as far as her true age was concerned. But I want you to notice what happened in this chapter. In the verse 3, it says, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And so when Abraham had come to this place, Abimelech had taken Sarah. Now if you look with me in verse 6, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now you think here of this man, Abimelech. What surely is implied in that verse 6 is that he had various intentions physically as far as Sarah was concerned. The Lord overruled so that that did not take place. But you think here of Abimelech, and he was physically attracted to this woman who was 90 years old. I believe part of the reason for that was that Sarah's body had undergone a radical transformation. Her youth was renewed, and she was then given the strength to conceive, to bear the child, and to give the child suck. What lessons there are in this for us. And for as we look at the church in its present state, so often to us it seems to be barren. To us so often the church of our Lord has an inability to bring forth spiritual children. If you look with me in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And here there is a great promise to the church that she will be enabled to bring forth children. Isaiah 54 and the verse 1, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. And so the church here is being described as that which is barren, a long period of not bearing. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. And why is the Lord exhorting his church to sing? The Lord is exhorting his church to sing because this period of barrenness is coming to an end. And instead of the church being characterized by barrenness, the church is going to be characterized by fruitfulness. Verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. And so there is this idea of enlargement, of lengthening, of increasing boundaries. Verse 3, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And oh, that we as God's people in this day would really take the words of this chapter to heart. And here is a wonderful promise to the church of Jesus Christ as she goes through times of barrenness. And the Lord would say to his church, sing, O barren, sing, O thou that has been unable to bring forth children, because the Lord will make thee fruitful afresh. Was this not God's word to the church in past days prior to times of reviving? You think of any of those great movements of God in church history. Those movements came after times of great dearth in the work of God, great barrenness in the work of God. And the Lord suddenly came among his people, and the Lord made his church to be fruitful. How we ought to then be like Sarah this evening. By faith, having this great confidence that we will be given strength to conceive, that the Lord will come upon his weak church, that the Lord will come upon his body that seems full of deadness and weakness, and that the Lord will so revive us, and that there will indeed be that renewal among the work of God, that the work of God will know times of seeing the birth of spiritual children afresh. And may that not only be our desire for the work of God, universally speaking, but may that even be our desire over the work of God in this house. That the Lord would say to us, sing, O barren, break forth into singing. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And oh, that we would indeed be then in this spirit of great expectation. Why was Sarah so confident? She judged him faithful who had promised. The Lord who has given this promise remains a faithful God. And so we can take a lesson as far as the church in its present state is concerned. But surely there's something here that we can learn for ourselves individually. So often as we consider ourselves, we may see ourselves as a vessel that is barren, a vessel that is dead. There is no ability in ourselves to do anything for God. And we see that there is a great need for something to be done in the Lord's name. And yet we doubt if we could ever be that vessel, because we are full of such deadness, full of such weakness. And yet the Lord speaks of how he can do mighty things through and for his people. But as we think of those promises, maybe we think, well, that couldn't be me. The Lord couldn't take me and do that in my life. I'm so weak. My faith is so weak. I have no ability to serve God or see a work done for God. And surely what is needed then is that, like Sarah, that we would catch afresh a glimpse of the Lord's power. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. And that we would believe that the power of God is able to come upon us. And the Lord would indeed renew, as it were, our youth. That just as he did something miraculous in the body of Sarah, that the Lord would come and do something miraculous in our spiritual vessel. We sang words earlier from the Psalm 103 in the verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And Spurgeon says that renewing of youth refers to an eagle that is diseased. An eagle that is diseased will sit upon the earth. It's miserable. The Lord has created the eagle to fly. The Lord has created the eagle to spread her wings. But as she sits there in the earth, the eagle that cannot fly so quickly becomes depressed. But then the eagle is renewed in strength. The eagle is enabled to fly again. And as the eagle is enabled to fly, it feels like its youth has been renewed. That it has been taken from that affliction, from that suffering. It has been given a new lease of life. Others feel that this renewal, like the eagles, refers to rising in a new day, having a new vigor. Certainly there is this idea of laying the weakness aside and enjoying that renewal. Isaiah 40 in the verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. The Lord, as it were, takes their weakness and he gives them strength. There are some that experience that physically. But it ought to be the desire of us all that we would experience that spiritually. that the Lord would come upon us in a mighty way, that we would be delivered from complacency, delivered from being in a rut, delivered from spiritual stagnation, that we would see a time of fruitfulness. Maybe as you sit in the meeting, you feel, well, so much time has passed and I have felt fruitless through all of this time. I have felt my barrenness. Oh, that your latter years, like Sarah's, would be your best years. For surely as we think of the faith of Sarah, and this faith to receive strength to conceive is evidently the greatest example of her faith. And we find then that in her last days, what a great thing was done within her. And while we may have stood in the door of the tent laughing in her unbelief, oh, that the Lord would come and do something mighty within us, that our youth might be renewed, that we might go forth and be fruitful. If you turn with me in that light to 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy and the chapter 2. And here Paul is talking in the context of the lady being in submission in the work of God, that she is to learn in silence. We read that in verse 11. And so Paul really is showing Timothy that the office of a bishop, as he goes on to speak of in the next chapter, in the office of a deacon, they are to be occupied by the men, and the ladies then are to learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam being not deceived, but the woman being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." And here Paul is explaining why there are different roles, different God-given roles to men and women. One reason is that the Lord made the man first. One reason is that the lady was deceived first. And since the lady was deceived first, then a man is to be in that role of leadership. But that does not mean the woman is to be trampled upon. But God has given to the lady a very special gift in order that stigma, as it were, upon her would be lifted. We read about that then in the verse 15. "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing." Now, evidently, the saved there has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul. A woman is not saved, that is, she does not receive God's salvation, the cleansing of her sin through childbearing. What is the saving then through childbearing? It's the saving from terrible stigma as a result of the woman having been deceived first. And the Lord's great gift to the lady then is this, that she is honored because she brings forth children. Now, what is true physically then ought to be true spiritually. How does the Lord bless and honor his church? The Lord blesses and honors his church. In this sense, he saves his church in childbearing, in fruitfulness. May then the Lord so come and do a mighty thing in us, that we might have faith to overcome abundant doubts. Her faith overcame her abundant doubts. We want to see then her faith persisted through abundant trials. I'll just mention this briefly. In the verse 11 of Hebrews 11, it says, "Through faith also, and Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered." She received strength to conceive And by faith she also received strength to deliver. And so this faith was not only that there might be a child within her womb, but she recognized that she needed strength to carry that child. She needed strength in order that that child would be delivered. Her faith, once nurtured, continued. And despite the doubts of many perhaps around her, despite the many things that would have been said to her in those days while she was carrying Isaac, her faith persisted through those abundant trials. But I want to move on then and see finally that her faith is remembered by its abundant reward. For if you look with me at verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And then in verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. There's no doubt that what has been referred to in verse 12 there is the birth of Isaac, and how from Isaac there came the great Jewish nation, and how spiritually from that line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and spiritually speaking, you know, there is the spiritual Israel, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. There sprang even of one, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. But you notice in that verse 12, it speaks of him as good as dead. And some believe that that is a reference to Abraham, that Abraham was an old man, and yet from him came forth this seed, and from him came forth this multitude. Others are of the opinion that the hymn there would better be translated in light of verse 11 as her. So, therefore sprang there even of one, and her as good as dead. Because remember, her womb was dead. So there sprang from her, her that her womb was as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. And Sarah then, if that is correct, is being pictured there as a great spiritual mother. We have that in Genesis 17, verse 16. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And the Lord did then for Sarah just as he had said. Her faith then is remembered by its abundant reward. Not only did she bring forth Isaac, but Isaac then was the father of Jacob. From Jacob came forth that nation of Israel. There was a time that Sarah had thought, yes, Abraham will be the father of a great nation. It'll be through Ishmael. But there came a day when it dawned upon her that no, it will not be through Hagar and Ishmael, but it will be through Isaac and I. Not one jot or tittle of what the Lord had spoken would pass. Everything that the Lord had promised concerning Sarah came to pass. And what joy there was in that then. And Sarah could say, the one who had laughed in unbelief, she could say, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. The laugh of absolute confidence. The laugh of great joy in God's intervention in her. Just as we come to a close, I want to draw to your attention that we have something of a type here in this particular case of Sarah giving birth to Isaac. For Sarah could not conceive. It was a physical impossibility for her to give birth to a child. But a miracle took place within her that she might conceive and bring forth a child. We think then of Mary, a virgin, she could not conceive. It was a physical impossibility that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child. But the Lord did a mighty miracle within her. And as Mary then gave forth to Christ, we see that Christ is the one that is greater than Isaac. In Genesis 24, 36, Sarah, my master's wife, this is Abraham's servant speaking, Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him, unto Isaac, hath he, Abraham, given all that he hath. Unto Isaac did Abraham give all that he had. In John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And so then, as Abraham committed all that was his into the hand of Isaac, so the Father has committed all things into the hand of his Son. And isn't it a marvelous thing that we are in that number of that which has been given to the Lord? What mercy that is, that the Lord would count us to be his. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Tonight we are found in him, clothed in him, united to him. May our eyes continually be fixed upon then our heavenly Isaac. May the Lord be pleased to strengthen our faith, that it might be a faith, and that is indeed well grounded, a faith in a faithful promiser. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts.